This is the starting the month of November, and this is Thanksgiving month, could say. Thanksgiving is the last Thursday of November, and I'd like to take a couple of weeks and focus on Thanksgiving. We will do a few messages about Thanksgiving this month. I think we have maybe three Sundays before Thanksgiving, and so I'm going to look at this subject of Thanksgiving. And it's a powerful thing to be able to give thanks. It's a powerful thing. It's not something that I have mastered and probably won't ever master, but it's something that I need to endeavor to do, and I believe that each and every one of us needs to endeavor to do as well. And so this morning we want to look at the safeguard of Thanksgiving, how Thanksgiving or giving thanks will safeguard our lives. That's what we want to look at this morning. So before we read the scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you that you have taken care of us and brought us together for another week. Lord, we pray especially for those who are sick this morning who cannot be with us. Father, we pray that you'd raise them up off the sick bed, that you'd give them strength in their body. We pray that you'd watch over them and take care of them and bring them back to us safely. We pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word, as we read the scriptures, as we hear preaching from your word. We pray that you'd help us to have open our hearts and open minds and open ears to what you've said, and that you would just do what only you can do, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we're in Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll read the first 7 verses, and we're going to look at the safeguard of thanksgiving, how giving thanks will safeguard our lives in different ways. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, of course, Paul the Apostle is the human author, and he wrote this to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And I'll tell you a little bit here just a minute about why he says therefore, but he says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." He says in the last part of verse number 4, he says, "But rather giving of thanks." But rather giving of thanks. So in opposition to the things that he has just said in these verses, he says, instead of doing those things, give thanks. Now, he's more than likely he's talking about the speech that we are supposed to use in verse number 4. And he says, in opposition to that kind of speech, give thanks instead. And he may not be referring to the first 2 or 3 verses there, but I'm going to apply it to those verses as well. How that giving thanks in our lives is going to be an antithesis or a safeguard against things in our lives and against different situations in our lives, and how that just giving thanks is going to help us in our lives, and it'll be a safeguard against different areas of our lives. It was Charles Spurgeon who said these words. He said, "You say, if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. But you make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you'll not be satisfied with if it were doubled." Charles Spurgeon was saying there, it wouldn't matter. You think, man, I'd be so much happier if I just had a little bit more stuff. Then I'd be satisfied. Then I'd be thankful. But he said it wouldn't matter if what you had was doubled. You'd just want more. You wouldn't be satisfied. And the key to our lives, I believe, is giving of thanks. And it's a powerful thing. Whether you have a little or you have a lot, whether you don't have a whole lot, if you're able to give thanks, boy, that's a powerful thing. And some people are like that. They can just give thanks in everything, and we are commanded to do so. But giving of thanks is a safeguard against destruction in our lives. And the Bible gives us plenty of instances and plenty of examples of people who didn't give thanks, and it didn't turn out too good for them. Paul the Apostle again writes in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and he says that God was not well pleased with some of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And the reason that he was not well pleased with them is because they complained and murmured against the provision that God had given to them freely. And he says, don't be like those people who murmured and complained. Now, to murmur means to like grumble under your breath. Like, you know, it's just kind of that grumbling. You know, people are complaining. It's not really an outright going to somebody's face and complaining, but it's just like a grumble. You know, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get enough. And that's what the children of Israel were doing. And God overthrew them, and they were destroyed by the destroyer simply for not being thankful for what God had given to them. You know what happened? Their mouth got them in trouble. They started saying things they shouldn't say, and of course we know it all started in the heart, but then it started coming out of their mouth, and they started complaining against God, and if they would just given thanks, they would have lost everything that they had. They'd just been thankful for what God had did. God had given them everything that they needed. He had given them manna from heaven. He had given them bread to eat. And that wasn't good enough for them, and so they started complaining, and they threw his blessings back in his face and said, we're sick of this stuff. This bread that you gave us, this light bread, there ain't no substance to it, and we want something else. And in effect, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You think you're a good leader, God? You think you know how to take care of people? Boy, if I was God, well, then I would have done something different. I would have done something better. If I would have been in control, if I would have been the one who was there and who I had the reins, I would have done this. And God said, well, I'm not going to put up with that. I'm going to send vipers into the camp, and I'm going to send judgment to those people for griping and complaining about my provision that I have given to them. And that's how serious that God takes complaining and griping. He killed off a bunch of folks for doing that. Now, that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. But in our text today, Paul the Apostle is telling the church at Ephesus, he says, this is who you're supposed to follow. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And then he says, I'm going to tell you how to walk. Walk in love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and he gave himself for us as a sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you how to talk. Don't be talking like foolish jesting and all this unclean talk that the Gentiles do. And the wrath of God is upon them for their speech and for the way that they live. Don't be talking like them, but rather giving of thanks. So thanksgiving is going to be a guard. It's going to be a safeguard against the way that we walk, who we follow, and how we talk. Instead of living in an ungodly fashion, instead of talking in an ungodly way, fill your mind up and fill your life up with giving thanks to God in all things. Now, I want to show you those ways, because if thanksgiving is present and thanksgiving rules your life and thanksgiving rules my life, then these other things can't come in. We'll follow God the way that we ought to, and we'll walk the way that we ought to, and we'll speak the way that we ought to speak if thanksgiving is present. Because to be quite honest, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be able to stop things before they happen. We need to be proactive in our Christian life. We don't wait and then make a big mess of things and say, well, now it's time to pick up the pieces and now let's try to fix it. You can do that. I mean, that's possible. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting you down if you do that. But the best thing is, well, don't ever let it happen. Well, never let that problem arise in your life. And the way that we can stop that from happening is being thankful. Thanksgiving, giving thanks can be a safeguard. And that's a very powerful thing for a Christian. So what are three areas that we can give thanks in everything and it will act as a safeguard in our lives? Well, number one is your walk. Your walk. He says in verse number one, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Did you know that a faithful follower of God is someone who is thankful in everything? And being unthankful, on the other hand, is going to affect your life in some very adverse ways, some very bad ways. An unthankful person does not have a nice, fruitful, good life. Bad things come into their lives whenever they are not thankful. And Paul the Apostle has been speaking here, and if we were to read the last chapter, chapter number four, we'd find out that Paul the Apostle has been speaking about the way that you live your life. And he's been speaking about it in the verses that we read. Chapter number four, he says, put off the old man. Put off that old sinful nature. That one that likes to do bad things, that one that likes to rebel against God, put that off. The way that you live your life, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Don't let anger become a sin in your life. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry and sin not. Been talking about the way that you live your life. Stop stealing from others. Start providing for yourself. The way that you live your life. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but use your mouth and use your speech to edify and build others up and help other people, and don't be tearing people down with your language. So we must develop an attitude of thankfulness, because if we don't, it will affect our entire life. And then Paul goes on to speak about some other things in verse number three. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you. What's fornication? Well, fornication is sexual immorality of all kinds. You say, how can unthankfulness lead to fornication? I'll show you here in just a second. Fornication, that's adultery, that's homosexuality, that's lesbianism, that's prostitution, that's sleeping with somebody that you're not married to. God's design for human sexuality, and yes, he does have a design, is marriage between a man and a woman. There's nothing else. And if you do anything outside of that, it's called fornication, sexual immorality, uncleanness, that's physical or moral uncleanness, covetousness, that's greediness. And so all of these things that I just told you about stem from being unthankful. Being unthankful, that's where it all starts. Some little thing like that. Just being unthankful? Just complaining to God about the things that he has given to you? Now, you didn't start out that way. You didn't start out committing adultery. You didn't start out being a staggering drunk. No, that does, you don't wake up one morning and say, well, yeah, I think I'm going to go out and commit murder. I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to rob a bank and I'm going to do something really big today. You know where it started? It started with just being unthankful. And that's what the unsaved world does. He says in verse number 6 that those people have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, because the wrath of God comes on these people for these things, because of these actions that these people are doing. The wrath of God abides today on those people. Why? For the way that they live their life, they are rebelling against God. And it all started, well, number one, because they're unregenerate. But an unregenerate person breeds an unthankful heart. We find in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 21, it says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. One little thing like that led to idolatry, led to fornication, led to adultery, led to all of these things. And so the first thing that you need to do in order to get into some kind of gross sin and affect your walk as a Christian, just be unthankful. Just be unthankful. That's all you have to do. Just become dissatisfied with what God has given you. Because that's where it all begins, just being unthankful. Did you know that covetousness is the 10th of the 10th commandment. What are those basic things that you and I are supposed to obey in the 10 commandments is covetousness. Exodus 20:17 says, "Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's Cadillac Escalade. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's mansion. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's bank account. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's life. Thou shalt not covet those things." Why? Because you are showing, and I am showing, by our covetousness that we just really aren't thankful for what God has supplied us with. God, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what you're doing by the way that you have placed me in this life? Because I want something a little bit more than what you have given me, and I am kind of dissatisfied about what you have given to me. Become covetous. You know what covetous means? It means to possess something that does not rightly belong to you. Now, sure, you might see a nice house and say, "Well, it sure would be nice to have that house." That's not coveting. But that house don't belong to you. And when you start scheming in your mind and saying, "Well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get that some way," and it consumes your life, and you try to get it, that's coveting. Coveting. Plenty of examples of that in the Bible. Ahab coveted Naboth's vineyard. He looked over there and he said, "I sure would like to have that vineyard. And I'm willing to do anything it takes to get that vineyard from Naboth." It all started with a thought. It all started with a desire in his heart. But you know what Naboth was doing by the end of the story? He was making false accusations about Naboth, telling lies about him, and condemning him to death, and he had him killed. And he went over there and took possession of his vineyard. And it all started with, "Well, I want that! Give it to me." What about David? David looked down and saw a beautiful woman. David's got plenty of wives. He's got more than one. He's got more than he needs. And he looks down and he sees Bathsheba bathing. He says, "I want that. I want that." What was it? Well, it was just a desire. David, can't you be thankful enough for the things that God's given to you? You've got plenty. You want more? That's not enough. You got to have Bathsheba too. Yeah, I want it. By the end of the story, what's he doing? He has Uriah killed. And he takes Bathsheba for his wife. Oh, what happened? His walk was affected by his unthankfulness. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. You see how serious that unthankfulness is? It will affect your walk. And if unthankfulness is present at your door, you know what's going to walk in? Covetousness, greed, sin coming right in. Why? Safeguard wasn't there at the door. He wasn't guarding. Thankfulness was not there. It'll affect your walk. Thankfulness will also be a safeguard against your heart. We find in verse number 2, he says, "And walk in love." How are we supposed to walk, church? We're supposed to walk in love. Walk in love. Now, it's not the kind of worldly love that you might be thinking about or the world might teach you. Well, it's a different kind of love. This is the kind of sacrificial love that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed for God the Father to his people. He laid down his life for us. He gave himself as a sacrifice, the Bible says. A sacrifice of sweet-smelling savor. As Christ, so our love as Christians ought to mirror Christ's love for us. He says, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." We'll look and see how that thankfulness integrates into all of this. But Christ's love for us is described as him giving of himself as a sacrifice and offering to God on the behalf of us. And boy, the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor. Sweet-smelling savor. Now, what does Paul mean like that? Well, I think that Paul was probably thinking about those Old Testament sacrifices that used to be made. And by the way, all those sacrifices that we read in the Old Testament, they're all pointing to the one true sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Because in the New Testament, there's Jesus Christ, and he shows up. And he's the ultimate sacrifice that fulfills all of those Old Testament sacrifices. And Paul is thinking about these sacrifices and the one that Jesus made. And he says it was a sweet-smelling savor to the God the Father. What does that mean? That means that when God saw the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he said, I like that. That smells good to me. That's a perfect sacrifice. There was no blemishes in that sacrifice. That's a perfect sacrifice right there. And boy, I accept that sacrifice. I approve of that sacrifice. Well received. I'll give you one example in the Old Testament. After the great flood, God let Noah and his family out of the ark. And Noah got out of the ark, and the first thing he did was built an altar to the Lord. And he made a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. And the Bible says about that burnt sacrifice that God smelled a sweet savor coming from that sacrifice. He says, boy, I smell that, and that smells good. I accept that sacrifice. What was that sacrifice for? Why was Noah making this sacrifice? Well, it was a praise to God for his salvation and his deliverance, and God had brought them through the flood. And boy, it was a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for me. And he made a sacrifice right there. In the same way, you and I are commanded to walk in love and sacrifice ourselves to God. Now, it's not a burnt sacrifice. No, we don't do like some people do and go out and crawl on grass. Glass. And whip ourselves on the back and make ourselves all bloody. And boy, I present myself to God as this bloody sacrifice. No, that's not the kind of sacrifice he's talking about there. No, we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now, Paul the Apostle was speaking there in Romans chapter number 12. And he starts out the chapter there, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And that's important. It's important that he said that, because he's beseeching us by the mercies of God that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So the reason that you and I would present our bodies as a living sacrifice is because God has been merciful to us through Jesus Christ. And what is this sacrifice? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, how does that relate to unthankfulness? Well, maybe you forget about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made. Maybe you become unthankful of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Maybe you forget about what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. You know what's going to set in? Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. And you know what happens, what sets in when you don't become thankful to God for what Jesus Christ has done for you? Or perhaps, God forbid that you would think or you would believe that you had something to do with your salvation. Oh, I had a part in that. I can't give God all the glory. I mean, I was kind of a good person, and I am going to take part in some of that. I'm going to take credit for some of it. You know what happens? Unthankfulness sets in. Well, I wish I could remember a verse coming to my mind. Anyways, you become unthankful to God. And when you become unthankful to God, you know what follows that inevitably? What follows that scenario is unholiness. Sin comes into your life, and you don't love God the way that you ought to love God. Unholiness and unthankfulness. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, unthankfulness leads to all kinds of problems in your heart. A darkened heart, we find in Romans chapter 1, verse number 21. Their foolish heart was darkened. Why? I'm unthankful to God. Unthankful to Him. Heart's very important, ladies and gentlemen. We find in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That means your holiness. That means your righteousness. That means your life. Everything comes from your heart. All the decisions that you make, all the friends that you choose, everything in your life comes from your heart, and you must guard it. Is thankfulness standing guard at the door of your heart? Because if thankfulness is not there standing guard at the door of your heart, you know what's going to walk in? through the front door? Unholiness, sinfulness. And boy, your love's going to wane. You're not going to do the things that you ought to do. So set thankfulness as a guard over your heart. Thankfulness not only guards your walk and guards your heart, but it'll guard your speech. It'll guard your speech. We find in verse number 4. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Now, Paul moves from the sins of the flesh, now to the sins of the mouth. The words that we speak, filthiness. What is filthiness? Well, filthiness is shamefulness or obscenities. Don't be using that kind of language. And someone who uses that kind of language, well, I'm going to tell you this much, they got a problem. They got a problem. It is portrayal or descriptions of a sexual manner in their speech that is disgusting. That's what that kind of language is. And if you want to see that on full display, just turn on the radio. Because much of our popular music today is filled with that kind of language. Just turn on the television and you can see it on full display. They don't mind. There is no guard over their mouth. There is no filter on their mouth. They just say whatever comes out. And it is filthy language. And I would say this morning that those who publish that kind of filth will be judged by God for the things that they are putting out and giving to our society today. Because language is something that God takes very seriously. Jesus Christ told us in Matthew chapter number 12, He says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And here is Paul warning us about our language. He says, filthiness, foolish talking. What is foolish talking? That's silly talk, buffoonery. It's just religious talk that has no meaning, or it's not religious, but ridiculous talk that has no meaning to it. It's just a bunch of foolishness, jesting. That's just joking or idle talk. And sadly, today, this is what Americans are known for in a popular culture. Filthy, obscene language in our movies and television and music. And by the way, we're exporting all of that to the rest of the world. And foolish talking and jesting. Just a bunch of buffoonery and laughing and things like that. I'm not against laughing or joke telling or anything like that. But Americans, we just can't take anything serious. We always have to be laughing or joking it up or something like that. But the Bible tells us as Christians we are to be sober-minded. And so therefore we must watch our language and the things that comes out of our mouth. And I'm not against having a good time and laughing. I'm not the big the grumpy guy up here, but we must be sober-minded. And so instead of using our mouth for this kind of talk, fill your mouth up with thanksgiving to God. Being thankful to God, because thankfulness to God guards our speech against all of those things. If you're constantly giving thanks to God, it's going to guard your mouth. You won't have time to say the things that you ought not to say. Just being thankful to God. And God has given us a mouth so that we can use it to honor and to glorify Him. He didn't give us a mouth so that we can use it for obscenities or cursing or saying things that we ought not to say. We were made to glorify God with our mouths. We find that in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21 says, I have formed this people for myself. He says, I have formed this people for myself that they might show the praises of God to other people. That's why we were made. We were made just to praise God and thank God with our mouth. That's why we were created. We read in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 16, verse number 9, that the unbelievers and the idolatrous, they refused to give God glory with their mouth. They repented not to give God glory, to give Him the praise. And they blasphemed God. They used their God-given mouths to go against Him. And so our speech and our language ought to be filled with thanksgiving to God. That's a hard thing, because the mouth, boy, you ever say something you wish you wouldn't have said? I've said that. I've done that plenty of times. I see lots of heads nodding back there. But James warned us in James chapter number 3, he says that the tongue is a world of iniquity. The fire He says, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Words are started by something that somebody said. Well, they just opened their mouth and said something. He says that sometimes we bless God and then we curse the man who is made in the image of God. It's a contradiction. You can't bless God and then curse men who are made in the image of God. You just can't do that. He says, let your speech be the way that it ought to be. So thankfulness will guard our speech so that we don't sin with our mouth. Do you have thankfulness as a guard over your heart, over your mouth? Fill your mouth up with good things towards God. Well, in conclusion, you and I as Christians, as I was thinking about this, we ought to be the most thankful people on the planet, especially those who live in the United States of America. I mean, what really do we have to complain about? Especially people in America, I mean, and especially Christians. No matter where they are, we ought to be the most thankful people. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit of God. We have assurance of our salvation. We have a church full of people who love each other and who would hold each other up and who would strengthen each other. We have the Word of God that gives us promises in His Word, and we have nothing really to complain about. We have a Savior who died in our place. We don't have to earn our salvation. It's already done for us. And we have no one to thank. We have no one to brag on except for God. He is the only one that we have to give thanks to. So what must we do in these situations? Well, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. No matter what the situation might be, in everything give thanks to God. And then maybe you are one here today that's having problems with your walk. Maybe not following God the way that you ought to. Maybe you're not loving God the way that you ought to. And unthankfulness has crept into your heart, has crept into your life, and you're not doing the things that you ought to do. I mean, people can just drop out of church or do whatever they want to do, and it all goes back to that unthankfulness. They weren't thankful to God. I don't know what your walk is like. I don't know what's going on in your life. But, man, pray to God and say, God, give me those feet to follow you. Lord, give me a mouth to glorify you. I haven't been doing it the way that I ought to. God, help me and give me the heart to love you the way that I ought to. Just pray to God and ask God to give you the things that He requires. Ask Him for strength. Pray to God and ask Him for all of these things. Let thankfulness be a safeguard in your life and thank Him in everything.